Okay, we all know the UK's broke, right? So, they've got to make some cuts. And Whitehall's looking everywhere to save money. I kind of mean everywhere. The BBC will face a cut in its budget. Parts of the National Health Service, that sacred cow in the UK, will be scaled back. Even these guys might find some parts of their jobs handed to the private sector. Sorry, I just love that theme. That's right, police, patrol, investigation work, that kind of thing, could be privatised, handed over to the private sector. This is a move that could see non-police trained private employees investigating crimes, patrolling some neighbourhoods and responding to major incidents. Now, the contract, this is one of the largest being offered to the private sector. It's worth £1.6 billion or so over 7 years. It could become more than that if other police forces get on board. It's just so far West Midlands and Surrey Police that are interested in this. So let's have a chat about this. To discuss the latest move now, I'm joined by Dr. Mark Button, who's a criminologist with the University of Portsmouth. Mark, thanks for joining us here on RN Drive. This came out, this became a news story because West Midlands and Surrey Police have placed a notice in the official journal of the European Union asking for expressions of interest from the private sector. What kind of services realistically do you think that private contractors could be doing that are currently police services?
Well, I think the most popular areas that will go will be custody services where individuals are arrested and are held in cells just for a day or a couple of days before they're processed to be either released or go to prison. Forensic services, I think, is another area. The contribution to some criminal investigations, such as being sent out to take statements from witnesses. Patrol of certain areas could also go. And a lot of sort of back office administrative functions could also be privatised.
Is this much of a change from what's currently happening?
Well, I suppose the scale of these invitations to tender is quite significant. But if you look over the last 10 years in UK policing, there are lots of examples of British police forces doing bits of this type of thing. So there are several police forces that have already privatised their custody. There are police forces which have contracted out their back office administration functions. But obviously the scale of this, two police forces, a £1.5 billion contract, that is sort of ratcheting up the process of privatisation in this country.
Just looking at the document that I'm guessing we weren't supposed to see, it's Commercial in Confidence, The Guardian obtained it, and it wasn't released under Freedom of Information either, so that maybe tells you that there's something to this. One of the services they say could be included here is bringing offenders to justice, investigating crimes, detaining suspects, non-judicial disposal, developing cases, supporting prosecution. And you reckon that's an appropriate function for private enterprise, or is that quintessentially the operation of the state?
I think it depends on the type of crime. I think there are sort of low-level crimes, low-level burglaries, frauds and things like that, where I think, with the right regulation and control, the private sector probably could do a reasonable job of those types of things. So I think it's when you start getting into things like murders and serious assaults and obviously terrorists. But having said that, I mean, it would seem that those types of functions don't seem to be on the agenda. It's kind of the more low-level criminal investigations. But there is some potential concern with that.
Now, none of that, of course, is specified in the tender document, and that's understandable in a way because tender documents kind of have to be broad because if you want to make them broader, it's a huge legal process to broaden them. But nonetheless, it paves the way. It leaves things open, doesn't it? Now, I ask that because we've got texts coming in from listeners. One anonymous text says, "This is disgraceful. Private police, this is the first step on the slippery slope." Another one raises the Iraq war. "This is just like Iraq, where, of course, you had a private army." Is there anything that the police force is saying that it's going to be a safeguard against the slippery slope?
Well, I mean, the statements that have been made in the media here by senior police officers would, you know, suggest things like, obviously, firearms, a small number of officers that do carry firearms in the UK, significant investigations like murders and terrorist investigations, those types of things wouldn't be privatised. And They've also said a statement around sort of anything where constabulary powers are required. But the problem with that is that there are lots of things where obviously we all have our citizens' right of arrest where constabulary powers aren't as significant as people often think.
Well, I'm looking at a quote now from Ben Priestley, who's Unison's National Office for Police and Justice. This sort of covers a lot of police civilian staff. So it sounds like a union kind of response. Makes the following comment: privatisation means that the police will be less accountable to the public. Police will no longer be able to go to the Independent Police Complaints Commission if they have a problem. Is that being addressed?
Yeah, so that is one of the strange gaps at the moment, because
it's more than strange, isn't it?
Police and civilian staff are obviously covered by our IPCC, the Independent Police Complaints Commission, but contract staff working in custody and in escort functions are also covered, but the other part, which could be privatised, in the legislation, it doesn't say anything about those at the moment. So there is a bit of a gap. So it does raise some questions. And one of the areas that I'm particularly concerned is in investigations. If you get that privatised, even at sort of very low levels, and there's no legislation that seems to be on the agenda, and we don't have any regulation in this country of private investigators, there would seem to be a gap for a lack of accountability for those types of investigators.
And just finally, a philosophical question. As I look at this document, the tender document, it's very commercial sounding. I suppose you'd kind of expect that, but it talks about the realisation of cost savings from transformation initiatives, more efficient delivery of policing services. I mean, is there a philosophical question here to be asked about whether or not this is appropriate to have this commercial kind of mindset for something that's a provision of a public service?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. Ultimately, people want a police force that serves them. And whether you can still get that when you have companies driven by profit is very debatable. I personally don't have a problem with certain parts of the police being contracted out. I think there is a lot of merit with custody suites and things like that. But it's when you start getting areas which are fundamental to justice and investigations that it does raise some concerns for me when we start going down that route, because you get the potential for I'm sorry, we're not going to investigate that because it's not within our contract, and those types of things emerging, which I think is rather worrying.
Mark, incredible stuff. Good to talk to you. Good to get your insights.
No problem.
It's Dr. Mark Button, a criminologist with the University of Portsmouth. Your text coming in is a text from Tony that's, quite radical. Private cops, private jails, punishment for profit, time to riot and revolt. Fair enough then, Tony. Like this text, anonymous one. This arrest brought to you by Marks and Spencer, or would you like a Coke with your fine for only one extra dollar? Has this world gone completely mad? Police are there as an arm of state and not as a business for profit. More text coming in. I'll do my best to get to them. 0418 226 576 is the number if you'd like to send us a text. 0418 226 576. And on Twitter, Lynn Bender is tweeting up a storm. She's just bombarding us, and it's great to have you on board, Lynn. She says, RN Drive, she says to us, when you consider the number of police shootings in Victoria when they are accountable and trained, we should be very afraid. And in another tweet, talks to us about feeling very insecure about more armed security on Melbourne trains. That's an issue that has been of consequence in Victoria. 14 minutes to the top of the clock. In a moment, we're going to cross to Adelaide, get the latest on the cricket.